It was your idea, Brando, my mother said, for me to become a phone sex operator. My mother, grandmother, and I were watching television in the living room. This was before my mother and I had separate televisions in our own rooms. Three televisions for three people who couldn't share. On that day's Donahue, phone sex operators, women who have explicit sexual conversations with men for money. A black silhouette with crescent rolls of vertiginous hair spoke in a digitally graveled voice about the virtues of the job, working from home, lots of tax-free income, power over men. I turned to my mother and said, "You could do that." How had I, at 10 years old, become my mother's pimp? She left from what she called straight jobs to sex worker because she felt victimized by a series of menial office jobs, the last of which was at a recruiting office, the ironically named Manpower, where she worked as a headhunter. She quit when she was cheated out of a large commission, or to translate into what she'd call white man's words, fired for insubordination. There were few work options left to a two-year community college graduate, an amateur, unemployed paralegal via a mail-order diploma course, and a Maranello Schools of Beauty dropout. Too many fights with her customers. She replied to a tiny box ad soliciting adult phone actresses for a company called Inside Moves in Pacific Palisades. It operated like a taxi service. A client called asking for a woman with particular attributes, tall, voluptuous, redhead, and gave his credit card and a callback number to a dispatcher or screener. She then contact one of the operators or girls on call and give her the client's request. The girl then called the client collect at the number he, when it was almost always a he, had provided. When the call was over, the screener would charge the client's credit card based on how many minutes the call had lasted. The girl earned a percentage based on how many minutes were billed. The longer she kept the client on the phone, the more money both she and her company made. My mother gave an alias for her payroll check. Over the more than 10 years that she'd work in the business, she'd cycle through new billing names for a host of reasons. Marriage, switching companies. Remarriage, eluding obsessive clients. Remarriage. She accumulated a deck of bad fake IDs to cash checks with no payroll taxes deducted that erased any trace of her Mexican ancestry and spliced together her two fake Indian names. Running Deer Skyhorse, Maria Running Skyhorse, Maria Running Deer, Mia Skyhorse. Mia was a favorite alias. She fanned them out like a deck of cards. "I can be anyone I want," she said. It wasn't easy at first. My mother vomited after her first several phone calls. Then she got the hang of it. After several calls experimenting with various names, ethnicities, and gradations in voice, a clear winner emerged. My mother became Kara Lee, a 23-year-old Irish grad student from Chicago. Straight sex calls, missionary, no kink, were simple. Rape, incest, molestation calls, the toughest, though she could do a convincing mimic of an 8-year-old girl. "Give me a Huawei pop," she'd say at the kitchen table to make me laugh, though I knew without understanding that she was never this chaste on the phone. Golden and brown shower calls, her explanations, useful verbal ammunition for the coming leap to junior high, made her laugh. Domination calls were her favorite because they didn't involve graphic sex. On an ever-expanding Rolodex, she kept a card for every man she spoke to, noting the date and length of each call, where he lived, when his birthday was, his children's names, and whether he liked to imagine Kara Lee, that is, my mother, in black stockings or red lace panties or crotchless. She listened to their insecurities, celebrated their triumphs, commiserated with them over life's disappointments, and acknowledged with handwritten thank you notes their gifts of flowers, chocolates, and classical music sent to her call center. Her calls could last anywhere from 10 minutes, get them off, then get them off, to marathon six-hour therapy sessions. But her therapeutic duties were always second to arousing her clients. My mother scoured pornographic magazines for sexual scenario ideas, but was too embarrassed and too tethered to her telephone to buy them. So she sent my grandmother to the neighborhood stand on the corner of Sunset and Echo Park Avenue. Hola, how are you, Julio? My grandmother would say. Oh, ¿cómo estás, abuelita? Everything good? Oh, bien, bien, it's busy, busy. Oh, what you got today, she'd ask. Oh, I got the new penthouse form you wanted, Julio said, all business. My mother got her best ideas from forms. How about, my grandmother said, putting on her bifocal reading glasses and looking at a list, jugs and high society. Oh, that's next week. Then give me a form, a Reader's Digest, and an Ellery Queen. I need my mysteries, my grandmother said. Oh, and don't forget the new Hustler.